Thanks for joining us for the podcast of the Campbelltown Anglican Churches.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I'm going to do the first Bible reading, which is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
I'm Carol. I'm going to be bringing our second reading, which is from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 22. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Thanks, Hannah and Carol. Well, I hope you've had a good rest over the summer. Maybe you haven't dropped your phone recently. It's survived, you'll be pleased to know. I hope you've had a good rest over the summer. As you know, the Australian kind of way is Australia Day is the start of the year. We don't worry about the 1st of January. Australia Day, that's about when we get started. And Melbourne Cup, that's about when you wind up for the year, isn't it? So we've had our break and now everyone's cranking into it. I hope you got some refreshment in that. And you're not too scared, as we say, let's launch the year. Though that will mean lots of things are coming up. And I'm going to start talking about some of those things today. As Michael set the scene for us, this is really a continuation or extension of Vision Sunday back in November. So we carry on at that point. If you're visiting today, this is all a bit weird. This is not normal week. We don't do Vision Sunday every Sunday, so yeah, that'll be a weird kind of a church. New vision every week. But please stay with us. In 2 weeks' time, we start a new series in John's Gospel, and we'll work our way through John, and that will be wonderful. John is one of my favourite books. And I always say that with every book that we ever do, I know, but I really mean it this time. And so we'll be looking at John's Gospel together. But these 2 weeks, this week, the dimension of our vision statement that is thinking about growing, and next week, the dimension of thinking about maturing in Christ. So that's where we're going. Why don't we ask God for his help as we come to the year and as we come to today. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you're a good God, that you've called us into your kingdom, and that you've involved us in your work. Father, as this new year starts off in 2024, please use us that you might see your kingdom grow and that you might be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's a question. Who cares about mission? Why should we care? I think we've got an answer there. Why should we care about mission? Life would be much easier if we didn't, wouldn't it? Actually, if we just pulled back and stuck our heads down and just enjoyed being around each other, it would be much, much simpler. Who cares about mission and why? Well, there's a reason we care, isn't there? It's really Christianity 101. There is impending doom coming. There is judgment coming. And if we even have a shred of compassion, we're going to want to warn people of what is to come. Now, I want to unpack that as we go today. I'm going to ask you another question. Who's on the Oppenheimer or who's on the Barbie sign? Oppenheimer, you've seen the news, right? This is the big debate of the moment. Oppenheimer, Barbie. Now that's, and who doesn't care? All right, there's way more of you than anyone else. I've watched the Barbie movie. I enjoyed watching it with my daughters and the philosophical discussions that we had afterwards over a pink hamburger at the end of the movie. That was lots of fun. I haven't watched Oppenheimer, but I feel qualified to talk about the Second World War. And we grew up with it, right? Books and movies and all of these things, families shaped by the Second World War. Who's going to win? Well, in my mind, a movie that wrestles with the ethics of millions of people dying so that millions of other people can live is probably going to win in the kind of intellectual battles. But maybe you see it differently. As I was watching this debate during the week, I was reminded of some of those books that I read. The Second World War was an incredibly interesting and sad time. As the Americans bombed in Japan, they had this practice, the Air Force. They bombed first with leaflets. So they'd fly over and they put leaflets out 2 or 3 days before and say, here are our targets, we're going to bomb these areas. Run, get away, it's not personal. And so they gave a warning of impending doom. And they actually did this before both of the big nuclear bombs were dropped. And the leaflet, you can Google it, has a picture of the mushroom cloud. And they were trying to explain, this is the worst thing that you could imagine. The Japanese government didn't really believe that they could do it. They confiscated the leaflets, they collected them up, and they put people in jail if they had them. So there was a warning before incredible impending doom. And there's a whole bunch of stories of people who read those leaflets and ran and survived. A story of survival and lots of untold stories of those who didn't. It's a sad story to think about, right? The Second World War, but I want to say, as we think about judgment and as we think about God's right to call us to account, that is an even bigger and more serious impending doom. And if you have some words of warning to offer, surely we should offer those words of warning before that day. Impending doom is coming. It's one of the simplest truths of Christianity. Christianity 101. I shouldn't have to tell anyone. Except, have you noticed, people are watering down judgment. Have you noticed that? It's been going on for over 100 years, but watering down the reality that we face doom if we don't get things right with God. Back in the 19th century, there were hellfire preachers. They've got a bad rep, right? Nobody wants a hellfire preacher. But the one thing they had right is hell is awful. So repent and believe. At this time in history, if you're watching what's going on in the Western church, there are lots of people who are saying, don't talk about hell. Just talk about the goodness of following Jesus and it'll be okay. And as we do that, less people are turning. Because impending doom is real, and if we water it down, we can't actually cover over the truth. Jesus has taught us impending doom is coming. That's why mission matters. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter was writing to scattered Christians in 65 AD. It's a different context to Western Christians who are wrestling with, well, we don't want people to be offended by the idea of impending doom. They were living it, and they were living persecution. Peter calls them exiles in verse 1. Not exiles because they'd necessarily run away from Jerusalem or something, though some had. Exiles because they were not welcome in their own society. They had chosen Christ and not the emperor's cult. They'd chosen a different God, and so they were exiles from their communities. Peter writes as he suffers even on the way to his death in 65 AD. And so the context is kind of like the Chinese church or in the Middle East where Christians gather or parts of Africa where if you choose Jesus, you are choosing hardship and difficulty. And so that's why this passage is so confronting and actually challenging to us. Have a look at verse 3 with me. Peter assures these persecuted Christians, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's on death row, right? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gee, that resets our thinking. Why would we praise God if I'm facing death? Well, it's because, as it goes on there, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope, new life in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter sees the world this way. No matter how tough it is, no matter what trials you're going through, no matter who hates you, what you have at the end will hold you in good stead. See it in verse 4. What do you have? You have an inheritance that'll never perish or spoil or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. That promise of what you have is to sustain this praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on, verse 5, because through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time. See how Peter sees the world. It's so radically different than so many in our world see it. He knows salvation is coming, and so he can live today. I reckon that's hard for us to understand. It's hard to understand when you've got a full belly most of the time. It's hard to understand when you're not likely to go to jail for being a Christian. It's hard to understand when you've got a roof over your head and life is kind of okay and comfortable. But sitting in a prison as you've got nothing to look forward to except death, Peter sees things clearly. What he's saying, I think, is a truth we all eventually work out one way or another, don't we? I mean, you can't live life without persecution, trials, and suffering. If you've gotten this far, you just know it's going to come at some point. Life can be hard. Tears will come. Pain is real. And on those days, if we listen to Peter, what will matter is your trust in Jesus, your eternal inheritance. Do you have a home forever? with the impending doom of judgment ahead, let me ask you first, will you be set free? Is your trust in Jesus? Because if it is, see how Peter sees the world. Verse 6, in all of this you greatly rejoice. He's a crazy man. In all this suffering, in all this hardship, you can greatly rejoice with this hope. If we are Christians, then this is what matters the most. And those that Peter writes to, these persecuted, suffering Christians, they see it too. Verse 8 there, they love Jesus and they're filled with an inexpressible joy. Is this what drives you? I've been asking myself that very same question. Is this what drives me? What is my greatest joy? You could take all of my joys but one away, and what is that joy that I will not let go of? It's challenging to think about, isn't it? Because in this world, joys are found all over the place. But if the very things that perish and rust and spoil and fade and go out of fashion and bring momentary pleasure, if they're the things we can't let go of, maybe we've misunderstood the gospel and what Jesus is truly on about. Where is your heart at? Where is your greatest joy? Over the summer, Shane Warne, his foundation, put out all these heart machines. Anyone see that? If you watch any cricket, it was like all day, every day. Before Christmas and before I had too much Christmas food, my heart felt fine. I felt in good nick. It was fine. Watching all of that on TV, I started having palpitations. Oh no, I'm eating badly, I'm a little overweight, I could be doing... I had to race down, I Googled it, Shane Warne Foundation free heart check. Raced down Queen Street, went to the mall, it's all okay, don't worry. And the palpitations went away, it was amazing. They did say you're a little overweight, go and see a doctor, so there you go, it's drumming up business on that front. A heart check is a great idea. If Shane Warne had this heart check, they reckon he wouldn't have passed away. That's a heart check for my actual beating heart. But what about my soul? What about the heart of what drives me? What is the check for that? Well, it's 1 Peter. And here's its sexy name. It's a different kind of heart test. It's called How to Suffer Christianly. Do you want that one? I wouldn't have run down Queen Street for that one. Look at verse 6. Here's the heart test. As Peter talks to this audience that is suffering, he says, though, notice this, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Can you see what I mean by a heart test? Here's the heart test. How do you suffer? It's not a sexy heart test, and it's not one you want to go voluntarily into. But as we suffer, it shows us what we truly depend upon. All sorts of griefs and trials will come. Sometimes we'll be on trial for being a Christian. But sometimes it's just the rottenness of the world that we live in. God doesn't force the suffering on us. But how we respond shows our faith. You see it there? Their faith is kind of refined. Gold is precious, but their faith is refined through suffering. Not only does it do that, but praise comes to God as we depend upon our Lord. Here's the thing. How do you suffer? If you lose your job, who do you turn to? If your car breaks down, again, you have to get it fixed. Where do you go? If your family spurns your faith, you're the black sheep. Why do you trust this weirdo Jesus? If ongoing illness and pain is your lot, who do you trust? Where is your heart? It's an incredible heart test. I feel challenged. I don't know if you do. Christians, says 1 Peter, have a deep-seated joy that helps them push on even in trials. And the reason is there in verse 9. It's because you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Certain salvation from impending doom brings hope, joy, and life. It's why Christians sing with joy. It's why we're known as the joyful people. And let me just say, that doesn't mean Ned Flanders. Ned Flanders has given joy a bad rep. Some of you may never have watched The Simpsons, but Ned Flanders is that guy that's happy, clappy, joyful all the time. It just bugs everybody. How can you be like? That's not what it means. But praise God if you're happy all the time. But joy is deep-seated in your heart, peace. It's knowing that you are right with God. It's knowing that no matter what happens, nothing separates you. That's joy from the love of God. That's joy. Let me say, for those who are grumpy, it should overflow in happiness every now and again, preferably more often than not. But joy is not quite the same as happiness. And so we are to have joyful hearts. And it's so interesting in this passage that as we're talking about suffering, and as we're talking about the hope that drives us and the joy that we have, look at verse 12, the very next thing. It's like a right-hand turn. It seems to be going a different direction. Suddenly Peter says, verse 12, it was revealed to the Old Testament prophets that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So where are you going, Peter? Why have you suddenly changed tack? But this is why he says it. How did you become a Christian? How did you rejoice in your salvation? How did you come? Someone told you. It may have been your Christian family. It may have been a friend. It may have been someone at school. It may have been somewhere in the workplace. There's all sorts of ways. And if we asked, you could all tell a story of the person or the people who led you to Jesus. But what Peter is saying is the way God has saved is that from person to person to person, people hear the gospel, the warning, the leaflet, and they turn from impending doom to serve their living God. Why does mission matter? Because it's completely tied up in the Christian life. You can't separate it. How you are saved is how the next person will be. And if we want to warn people of impending doom, we just preach Jesus and the salvation that comes in him. Brothers and sisters, fellow disciples on the walk with Christ, members of Campbelltown Anglican, we are part of something amazing, aren't we? We're part of God moving heaven and earth to save us. The profound work of God is our work here locally, and we share it with millions. And the results of our work will last forever. You've received the message of life. You've been saved from the eternal fires. God has put you, well, in a good place with him, with joy in your heart. Why mission? Well, mission matters to God. So mission matters to us. Where's your heart? I want to come back to some really practical things for this year ahead, and particularly the first term in a moment. But I think you deserve a break. You've done well so far. Mission matters. Let's stand and sing, and we'll return.
My all in all. till he returns. Oh, calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
How good was that? Please sit. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. What a hope we have. What a hope we want to offer to other people. Now, I want to talk about three concrete ways that we want to try and do that as we get into and launch off in 2024. The first one is really, if you're here at Vision Sunday, the core of any mission strategy, and that is to pray. If we're not a church that is praying, we might as well give up. If our hearts are not in it, if we don't have a heart for Jesus, we can give up for that reason too. But if our hearts are in it, then we want to be prayers, don't we? Think of those words of Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, the harvests are ripe around us, and what do we want to do? We want to pray for the Lord to send workers into the harvest. That's what Jesus actually tells us to do. He doesn't tell us first to act, he tells us first to pray. And so I want to invite you to put this on your prayer list this year and make it a concrete prayer. To start praying very concretely. I'd love it every week. Once a week at least, personally, pray that the people of Campbelltown might come to know of the impending doom so that they repent and believe and are saved. In fact, I want to do it really concretely in that I'd love for you to pray for one person. Who is one person that you know that doesn't yet know Jesus that needs to? Now, that prayer that you pray might be, Lord, I don't have one person. There's no one. I don't know who isn't yet a believer. So pray that the Lord might give you someone. Your prayer might be, I don't know what next step to take with my neighbor. Your prayer might be, help me to take a bold step. I keep talking about a neighbor, but I haven't invited them to church. There's all sorts of prayers. But on your outline, there's a little line there. Maybe you want to write on it on your outline. Maybe you want to write it on your brain. But pray for them. Commit to personal prayer. And if you have a household with other Christians, would you pray for our mission regularly in your home? In your personal prayer, in your home. I trust we will do this in our growth groups as well. But if we're not a praying church, are we even a church? And I sort of say that as your pastor, I think the most important thing we can be doing is asking the Lord to work. And be assured that I am praying for that. I'd love for you to as well. Michael talked about a parish prayer event on Thursday night this week. I want to invite you to come along. The last one, the hall was packed out. It was so encouraging and so noisy all at the same time. It was both challenge and encouraging. I'd love us to have even more people across our parish join together as we launch off this year to pray. We do it in a very efficient way, where it's 7:30 to 9, and keep it sharp. You can hang around if you want, but keep it sharp for those who have other things they have to do, but come and pray. Hopefully, we'll spread out beyond this room, like last time, which was too noisy, and spread around the site, and we'll pray for the mission ahead of us. We need God's help. If we reach 2,033 people by 2,033, we've reached less than 1% of our area, which means 99-point-something percent still face impending doom if nobody takes the gospel to them. Only God can do that mighty work. Let's pray. Number two, Mick is going to come and talk about. Number two, MacArthur is having a mission. Tell us about it.
Love to. I'm going to tell you a bit about what's happening here at church and also what's happening in terms of thinking about the mission that's happening that we're doing in conjunction with about 14 other Anglican churches around the MacArthur area. So let's start with thinking about how we might do mission here at church. The first thing to say is, where's the best place to invite someone if you're thinking you'd like to invite them to come and hear about Jesus? Exactly right, M. Tyler. Invite them to church. I'm just going to say, church is awesome. Sometimes we can get a little bit worried in our own minds, going, oh, is this going to be good? Is this going to be the right place for them? Absolutely. Church is awesome. You know that church is awesome. You're here. You're awesome. I love meeting with you guys every week. Church is the best place to invite someone. Every single week this term, we're going to be spending our time looking through John's Gospel. There is no better place for us to be if you are inviting someone who's new or coming back to faith or thinking about these kind of things than John's gospel. It is amazingly excellent. It is crystal clear about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. So look forward to that. Invite someone to come along to church. But if you're looking for specific opportunities that you might invite someone along to, I'm going to give you three, or two really. I'm going to give you three up. I would love to encourage you to invite someone to come along to the Jesus Is Night on the 25th of March. That's just before Easter. Jesus Is Nights, what they are, is a moment where we have some food, we sit around kind of tables and we hear from four members of our congregations here at church a story about Jesus. And then in kind of the little tables that we're sitting in, we then reflect what did we hear, what did Jesus say that you thought was significant or substantial, what was challenging you thought that he, what did you think he was going to say and he didn't say that, what does that mean and what does it look like to then listen and follow him? They're great nights. They're really excellent nights for people who have some background in Jesus and thinking about Jesus perhaps, but perhaps haven't spent much time thinking about it recently. It's refreshing. Jesus is super intriguing. And it's a moment that people often move from going, you know what, I haven't thought about this for a while. I think I need to go and investigate that further as a result of the night. That's what they're there for. The second thing to say is Easter is coming up halfway through this term. Weirdly, not at the end of the term, halfway through the term this term. And Easter is an excellent moment to invite people along. Our Good Friday services, our Easter Sunday services this year, they will be intentionally designed well for you to invite someone to come along and hear about Jesus. That's what we're hoping for. But we don't just want people to come along and kind of fill our church building. We're not just wanting to have numbers for numbers' sake. What we want is for people to come and join us at church and meet Jesus, for them to actually work out what it is to follow Jesus, to be someone who is saved from that impending doom, for someone who works out what it means to follow and live listening to him. And that's why we run these courses called Meet Jesus. It's a moment for helping people over kind of four sessions to think about what does it actually look like to put my faith and trust in Jesus? What is being a Christian even all about? Now, if you're someone who's newish here or you're someone who's coming back and reinvestigating things, this might be the place that you might start. Doing a course like this, which puts the basic blocks of what does it actually mean to be a Christian back in place for you. A moment for you to be able to solidify yourself on that and go, yep, that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be part of church. I want to be on board with that. So what we want to do is we're going to be running Meet Jesus. I've got a couple of dates up there that are post-Easter. We're also going to be potentially running one or two before Easter as well. So if you're someone who's new or newish and goes, yeah, this is what I need, come and find me. I'd love to be able to work out a time that will work for you, that will be able to run a course with you as well. But that's what's coming up. We want to help people to not only just come to church, we want to help them to meet Jesus. But that's kind of all for adults, but there's not just adults who are part of our church. Hands up if you are youth-aged. Ben, you can put your hand down. No one's believing that, Ben. Sorry. But there's a few people. Oh, yes, Alexander, you get to put your hand up for that now. Yeah, you do. Good work. That's awesome. The youth of our church, again, youth group every week. It's a great place to invite a friend to come along and hear about Jesus. But a particularly good moment will be on March 8. All of the youth groups in our local area are going to be doing a combined event with people across the MacArthur region. That'll be an excellent moment to invite someone to come along and hear clearly what it looks like to follow Jesus. Afternoon Kids Club, if you're not yet in high school, put your hand up. Both of you. Yeah. Awesome. Afternoon Kids Club, every single week is a great moment to invite other friends to come along and hear Jesus. But on week 6 of term, it's an invite a friend week. It's going to be a moment where there's going to be particular clarity on what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so it's a great moment to invite your friend to come along and hear about Jesus. All of these things are moments that you might invite. What might you actually say? Well, we actually want to help you to think about what you actually say and giving you some training as well. So what's coming up in terms of training during growth groups? So growth groups will start kind of week two of term, and we're going to have 5 minute or 3 to 5 minute kind of mission spots just at the start of growth group in thinking about how you can pray together well as a growth group, how you can be encouraging one another in having conversations, how you can be using these moments well in actually helping your friends to connect in with church and know Christ. We're also going to be hearing throughout our church service some of the moments that God has been using in our church and in other churches across the MacArthur in actually leading people to Christ. It's pretty awesome. There's been about 20 people or so who've become Christian in our church this year, just in our church, let alone of the 14 other churches in the MacArthur region. That's awesome, hey. God is changing lives and bringing people to himself. It is such an awesome moment. It's such an awesome thing to hear people coming and trusting Jesus. And we're going to hear some of the stories of how people have become Christian over the last year through across all of these churches. But we're also going to have some MacArthur-wide kind of mission training. First one is actually not very far away. February 8th, that's Thursday night, 7:30 to 9 o'clock here at church. We're going to hear a bit about what it looks like to engage in personal evangelism, what you might say, what you might do, how you might encourage people well, and how you might be able to explain the gospel in a way that's clear and understandable. So think about personal evangelism in our modern world. That's going to be gathering here at our church, but it'll be also from churches around the area. That's happening very soon. The second one is on the Wednesday, the 7th of March, where we're meeting at Minnow. We're thinking about welcoming and follow-up. So it's not just how you might personally invite someone to come along in here, but actually what happens if there's someone who's new who just simply comes to church? How do you welcome them and how do you invite them and how do you be helpful in helping them to come to know and follow Jesus? So much more that can be said, but that's what's happening in term one. So I'd encourage you guys, be praying, be active. Take this home and have a look through. You are discerning adults, most of you. Some of you are discerning teenagers or kids, but you're discerning people. You guys work out what are some moments that you might choose from this. You go, yeah, I'm going to particularly utilize that kind of moment. I might tap in for that kind of training. And how might you use these moments to actually grow and utilize that for seeing your friends and family and those around you come to know and trust Jesus this year? Thank God.
I hope that's exciting for you just to think about being in a mission activity with all of our local churches in partnership. So number one, pray. Number two, some concrete mission activity into this term to launch our year off. Number three is actually what happens if people become a Christian? What happens? I mean, you can sort of dream that people become Christians and then just hope for the best. Great, you're Christians now, off you go. Or you can try and plan to welcome them in and disciple them into the life of church. Having had the privilege of having a lot of people over the years become Christians, it gets harder and harder every year to disciple someone. They're coming from so far back and learning what it is to follow Jesus day by day becomes harder and harder as they have much more to turn from. So we want to be intentional in that particular process. I've been showing this little picture on the screen for a while now as a pathway for how do I join in with our church. And I want to invite you to A, do some homework. Don't be scared, start of the year, people talking about homework, you don't want that. But I want to invite you to do some homework and actually go on to an online portal at the end of that QR code and have a think about what this pathway is all about. I'm going to give you the briefest of summary. The intention of it is that we disciple people well and we welcome people well and we as members know how to help people make a next step, step by step, in coming to Jesus. I mentioned last year, 16 adults, 4 kids became Christians last year, youth. Praise God, right? But that almost tapped out our ability to disciple last year. That's a lot of work, and that discipleship's not finished. We need to keep going into this year and into next year with those people. Imagine if God was to bless us in the same way again, and then again, and then again. We need the whole body of our church playing parts in helping people to join in with what Jesus is doing and with our church. And so that picture is deliberately a circle. People come in at some point, like a big funnel. People come in because they walk in the door. People come in through ESL or junior drivers, through personal invites, all sorts of ways. We want to welcome them into a church congregation, and then our welcome lunch that we sort of bang on about every 5 or 6 weeks is really important for people to feel like they're a part of our church. How do I fit in this thing that I'm in? And it's where the pastoral team and other leaders in church try and figure out how can we help this person in their next step. Some should just join in with our church. And so we have a sort of members course, a light members course for them to do, to understand us, and then we go from there. But others are still figuring Jesus out. And so we walk with them through Meet Jesus and the Firm in Jesus courses. Then people end up in a growth group. We pray. We want people to join into a growth group because, as we've been talking about, it's the lifeblood of fellowship in our church. It's a way to pray together, keep each other accountable, work together in the gospel. Growth groups are really important, and then to start serving and play a part in the life of church. We don't want people to just make a decision, do we? We want them to stay with Jesus their whole life, and our job is to help that to play out under God. And so there is the pathway on the screen where you go online, scan the code, and just work through that. There's a couple of screenshots of what you see at the end of the QR code. You get to make a choice. It's in your hands. Are you new here or are you a member? You make that choice, and then the next screen will look something like this, depending on whether you're new or member. You'll get a version of the pathways to help you understand where you're up to. Then at the end of that, if you are a member, there's lots of extra information there. You can watch the video, you can read it, whichever you're faster at, and then you can figure out for yourself. So that is the kind of explanation of the pathways. We've put that together to help new members, but let's help existing members as well as we go. So there's three concrete things that I want to set before you as a part of Reach 2033. Today is an unusual day. We don't do church this way every week, and thank God for that. We just want to be in God's word week by week. We don't need to put events in front of each other all the time and all these tasks, but it's good to stop. And it's good to be intentional together because Jesus has a mission. And we've been invited to play our part in that mission. We're the leaflets. We're the ones with the life of Jesus in our hands to offer to other people. It's an incredible gift that we have. And so will you play your part? Is your heart in seeing the lost saved so that they too may join us in the kingdom of God? Let me finish with these words, which are our words from 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Praise God. Amen.
We've been challenged today, haven't we, from God's words about our hearts, about getting a heart check, about whether we are feeling the reality of the impending doom that is coming for those who are not connected to Jesus. Do we feel that heart to warn others, to be that leaflet? Jason's also outlined with Mick some concrete steps for us as 6 p.m. to be thinking about how we can be moving towards that 10-year goal. And I want to give us a moment to actually stop and reflect on that, because I think it's very easy for us to kind of hear that and maybe forget about it. I want to give you 2 minutes now just to stop, to maybe write down what's one person that I want to be praying for this year. Who's one person I want to be praying for? To stop and maybe get out your phone and get the calendar and put in those dates. Maybe that's a training date or a Meet Jesus course that you want to be coming to. Put that in the calendar. But maybe if you're new or visiting with us and that seems, you know, a bit strange for you, why don't you check out the pathway so you can scan the QR code and kind of look through the pathway, what it means to be joining us here at 6 p.m. So I'll give you 2 minutes now just to reflect, to write down someone you want to be praying for and some of the actions that we've put down here.
Thanks for joining us for this sermon podcast
Check out more of our resources at campbelltownanglican.org or come visit us at church sometime.